with on, contending for the faith. Hallelujah. Contending for the faith. And we're not able to get into our teaching last week, but just the process. We'll get into this teaching soon. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28 from verses 18. This is the second session. Yes, from verses 18. Matthew 28:18. Now, it is, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's the word power, has been given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and teach all nations. Matthew 28. We are looking at contending for the faith. And authority is looking at giving, right? In the local church. So, there are a lot of things we will say in this teaching that will take up from Thursday service, and a lot of things we would say this. Yeah, we'll take it up from here, continue there. Amen. So you have to listen to usually the introduction together. So make sure you have good messages and make sure you are around. Very vital. It's not good enough that believers go to download messages. Some people fulfill their phones with downloads and they don't listen to it. So make sure first of all you are in the meeting. Then you cannot listen to it again. For further reference. Hope you're hearing me. So it says verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. It says, and so I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, vital note is the use of the word I am. I am with you always. And we said last week, we said the word I am is not just a verb. The word I am is God's proper name. His name is I am. Amen? Is that not? Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. Look at verses 14. Look at what God said unto Moses for the children of Israel. Exodus 3:14. Hallelujah. Exodus 14. Look what it says. It says, and God said so unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, don't shy down, say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. So God's name is I am. So when Jesus says, I am with you always, that is a major fact of our salvation. It's a major fact of being born again. Hope you're hearing me. When he says, I am, is a major fact of being born again. So, being born again is the I am with you. Do you understand me? And he said, I am with God. So when Jesus says, I am with you, we say it is a fact in salvation whereby the one who carries out the work of salvation calls the Savior or the Soter remains with the delivered people. So for in salvation, we were delivered. Hallelujah. We were delivered. In salvation, we were delivered. Or we are the delivered ones. Okay, follow me. So the one who delivers you stays with you. So Jesus tells them, I am with you always. He begins to Mark 16. From verse 15, he said to them, go preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And I say, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak in new tongues. They will take up deadly. He said they will take up the deadly things. He said, I mean, sorry. They will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly things, they shall not hurt them. See, they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And I say, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Remember, to sit at the right hand of God, we said it means the indwelling, right? Right? Meaning he lives in our heart. And says, and they went forth and preached everywhere with who? With the Lord walking with them. Did you see that? The same fact of salvation that the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer stays with the delivered. Okay, everybody. Hallelujah. The deliverer stays with the delivered. Hallelujah. So the Savior is always with the delivered, with the believers also. Hallelujah. So Jesus being with the believers is a fact of salvation. So to say Jesus is God and is coming back soon is a wrong doctrine. It's not a doctrine of the church. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Because the major fact of our salvation is that our Savior is with us. Amen? I know some people say, He's coming back again, my God is coming back again. He went away and promised that He's coming back again. And they think, we're waiting for rapture. He's going to come back again. He never left. It's only that left that will come back. If Jesus is the Savior, then He never left the earth. Hallelujah. What is that? You don't say that to children. No, you don't say He's coming back again to children. Because they have a foundation you say to them. Hope you hear me. Amen. Amen. He never left. Who is He? He's with the believer. We're going to see those facts little by little now. Hallelujah. Take notes. Take notes. Before you say, Pastor does not believe in the rapture. That is, Pastor says there is no rapture. Well, you will be wrong. But my definition of rapture might be different from yours. Hallelujah. That is why you need to use words well. Hallelujah. Pastor doesn't believe in second coming. You need to use words well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So are you trying to say there is no heaven? It depends on what you call heaven and what I call heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we have to reorientate ourselves again on the use of words. Glory to God. I will not tell you there is no heaven because there is heaven. But what do you call heaven? Where the dead go to? Where you die and go to? Oh. So where? Heaven is where the dead go to. My Bible didn't teach me that. Did you see that? Amen? So that means your definition of heaven is different from mine. Glory to God. So a whole lot of things we're going to look at. Amen? Amen? That's it. We are dealing with, are you saying, what about when Jesus said, I will come back again? You know, somebody started to say, that's what it is. I will come back again. He will come back again. What is He coming back? He's coming back again. My Lord is coming back again. No. Hallelujah. Look at John 14. Everybody quickly. John 14. There is what many people make the mistake. John 14. We are going on a journey. It is a journey. John 14 quickly. Amen. Are you John 14? It's all this one. It says, let not your heart be troubled. It says, believe in God, believe in me also. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Even if you're not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. It says, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Say, hey, so can't you see? He said, I will come again. That is coming back. No, you're missing it. Right? You're missing it. Look at what he says in verse 2. He says, in my Father's house. Now let's back. Mark that in your Bible. In my Father's house. Was it the house that I told you we're going to be doing a lot of cross-referencing on last week's Sunday? Was it on Thursday? On Thursday? On Thursday. That we did those referencing. Okay. Now it says, in my Father's house. What's that word house? Now when it says the word house there, or Father's house, is the word pataokia. But look at that word house. It's the word oikia. O-I-K-I-A. Oikia. In the Greek. Now, the word oikia, like I said, the word oikia is the word that is used for family. Family, not a brick. I remember one time I was told that if you do good,
kingdom, oh, kingdom, oh, kingdom waiting for you. You don't sing that to a child. That's the wrong song to sing. Hallelujah. He said, so, you know, someone told me that if you do good, you are building, you are putting blocks on top of blocks, you are making your house in heaven. What nonsense talk is that? Hallelujah, you don't say that. Hallelujah. So, when you use the word in my father's house, you are thinking of different houses. No. No. When you use the word oikia, therefore house, it's used for a family. So he said, in my father's family, there are many mansions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, you hear me? In my father's family are many mansions. Now, when you use the word mansion, is the word monad. Monad. It's used for a dwelling place or used for dwelling places. Amen? Where one comes and does his assignment and stays there to do his assignment. Or where one comes to stay and do his assignment. So, oikia is family, mone is dwelling places. So can we read that well? Let's read it well. In my father's family, is that correct? In my father's family are many dwelling places. Did you see that? Amen? So that takes away building from your head and roof sheet, aluminium or Cameroon roof. It takes it away from your head. It's not building, it's talking about family. So in my father's family are many dwelling places. Now, listen. Now says, I go, and in another verse says, and if I go and prepare a place for you. Now he used that word, I go prepare a place. Now he used the word prepare. Amen. So the word prepared there is the word hectomizo. H-E-T-O-I-M-A-Z-O. Hectomizo. Now the word hectomizo is used for how you now the word hectomizo is used for how you prepare something inside. Amen? How you prepare something inside. So the word hectomizo is used for an internal work. For example, someone is visiting you in your house. And there's already, now let's say somebody, I'm expecting a visitor into this hall, and I say, please prepare that place for him to stay. Did you see that? So where is the place going to be prepared? Inside the hall. Hope you're following me. Amen. So if you want to see how you prepare somewhere inside. Now if I say go and look for a hotel for him, it's not hectomizing him. Because a hotel is going to be outside. Did you hear that? But he said, I prepare a place. So where would the place be prepared? In the father's family. Did you see that? Amen. So, in my father's house are many dwelling places. I go prepare a place for you in the father's family. Yes. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Prepare a place for you. So, very vital. So in that sense, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you be also. Now the issue with people is the use of the word, I will come again. So the fifth day I will come again is rapture. No. Amen. The come again would not be rapture. Where everybody will just disappear. No. The coming again will be something we're going to see. Look at verses 4. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, and whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. This is that. Hallelujah. You know where I go. It now says, I'm going to come again. Hallelujah. So the question is, where did he go to? Look at what he now says in verse 16. Verse 16. It says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Before you get there, you think you may get lost. Look at Thomas' question. Remember I said the way you know? Thomas now asked a question in verse 5. He says, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. So if you have known me, you would have known the Father, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Hallelujah. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, it is sufficient for us. Hallelujah. It is sufficient for us. And Jesus said unto him, verse 9, have I been long with you this time and you don't know me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how seest thou? Then show us the Father. Hallelujah. He's talking about his going. Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. He's talking about his going. Take note. He's never said he is the Father. Take note of that. He never said he is the Father. But he said, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. Because they walk in union. Hope you are following me. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. He just said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. Did you see that? So he's telling them, I'm going. Right? But there will be a comforter. Question will not be, who will be that comforter? Verse 18. And I said, I will not leave you comfortless. Did you see that? I will not leave you orphans. He said, I will come to you. Remember? He just said, the Father will give you another comforter. That is the word, Allos Parakletos. Another comforter. Now when you look at the word allos there are two words for another in the Greek. One is allos, another is heteros. Now when you look at the word heteros, if you look at this today, this chair and this chair. Now, watch this today. Are they the same? Are they the same? This is called heteros. They are not the same. Okay, so heteros, they are not the same. You can see that. But, in fact, you can even place these two chairs as allos. Even if they look alike. Allos means another that is as if. Amen? Another as if. Now he says, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. Is not different person. No. Amen? It's not different person. It's the same as me. Now he calls the Spirit, listen, he calls himself, or he calls the Spirit the union. Okay, let me not get, I'm getting too far. He's calling the Spirit himself in the resurrection. So he said, I will come to you. So what would you have as the comforter will be Jesus in the resurrection. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Look at verse 20. It says, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You see that? Amen. I in you. Verse 21. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them is he that loveth me, and he that is loved, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, that word manifest. It's something you have to note again. That is the word to unveil. Fenero. Manifest. Amen. Okay, follow me. Fenero. To manifest, to show openly. I will manifest myself. That would be, what would be manifested to the person, the Spirit. Hope you're following me. And the Spirit will be Christ in the resurrection. Hope you're following that. Now 23. Let's jump to 23. He says, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Now watch that word abode. The word abode there is the word mone, used for dwelling places, in verse 2. So he says, he that loves me, we will love my Father. Now that love there is faith in him to believe him. So he says, he that believes in me, that's it. Hallelujah. Is amen. He that loves me, you will love of my Father. Amen. And will come. Watch it. We will come. Who is the we? himself and the Father. Did you see that? He said, we will come and make our abode in him. So that means the Holy Ghost that we have received is the union of Jesus and the Father. Amen? Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. Glory to God. It's the union of Jesus and the Father. He said, we'll come and make our abode. So that dwelling places in John 1, 2 will be the union of the Father and the Son in the believer. Amen. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. That is why you shouldn't read chapter 14 into 15 and read it in chapters. Read it together. 15 and said, abide in me and I in you. That is the moment. Okay, follow me. That is the dwelling place. The Father is going to be in you. Then I have the true branch. I say I have the branch. Say my Father is the vine dresser. Say any branch that abides not in me. Did you see that? Amen? How many follow that?
Glory to God, John 15, verse 3. Hallelujah, I say abide in me. And I you. As a branch cannot bear fruit, they say abide in the vine. That is the mone, the union.
Hallelujah. The union. So, when he hear, I go prepare a place for you, will be in the resurrection, the 3 days. So he say, I go. Jesus is going, is not bye-bye. It's not aeroplane. No. Jesus is going, if he's coming. He's going in, he's going to die, and on the third day he's going to come back. Amen? So he say, I go prepare a place for you, means I am coming back to live in you. Hope you're following that. So Jesus never left us. Jesus never left us to come back tomorrow. No, he's always with us. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Amen. Amen. So Jesus is always with us. Say that. Say Jesus is always with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can confidently say Jesus never left the believer. Jesus never left the believer. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Never left the believer.
Never left
the believer. Of Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again, Jesus.
Jesus.
Never left the believer.
Never left the believer.
Now I want to ask you, did Jesus live the earth?
No.
Did he live the earth?
No.
He never left the earth. But something to think about. Luke 24. Luke 24. Verse 51. Just something to just think about. And don't break your head over it. We'll look at it next week into next 2 weeks. Amen. Amen. Luke 24, 51. We'll see a bit of those things next week into next 2 weeks. 51. And it came to pass while he blessed them, which is Jesus, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Ah! What does it mean, sir? Did you see that?
Now, why are you doing this to us, man? You just told us something and now you're throwing this fine on our own.
No, I'm not.
You need to see.
He was carried up into heaven. So, what do you have to see? So, Luke said heaven. If Luke says heaven, it then implies we would have to look again and reread heaven. You see that? In their world.
So that means there's a problem. Maybe my heaven is different from their heaven. My top of heaven in our world is different from heaven in their world. So look where someone has been, what is heaven? Because you know what? I know people who say when you are born again, heaven becomes the goal.
That is crazy. No. It's actually when you're born again, you are in heaven.
But sir, I'm still in Mafuluku. I'm still in Nigeria, yes.
But you're in heaven. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 12,
quickly, verse 24.
That you are called unto where? Come on unto Hebrews 12. It is that you are coming. Say you are called.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, are you there? Come on. Are you okay? Okay. Verse 22. It says, but ye are come unto Mount. You have come unto Mount. Did you see that? Is he saying you are coming or you are come?
Is it you are come? So, where are we now? Come on, where are we now? I did not say Mount Zion thing. Where are we now? Where are we now? You're with the God. Amen? Where are we now? Is it in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you in Mount Zion? Hey, so what is Mount Zion? Let's look at it.
We have come to what? Mount Zion. It's called what? The city of the... Come on, speak. Are you not reading your Bible? The city of the... Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing that. Say to an what? Come on, are you not reading your Bible? No. Unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly... To the heavenly... How are you following me? So, where?
Heavenly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. So, you are in heaven. Okay, I'm saying that. Amen? You are not trying to go to heaven. The believer is not looking for heaven's gate. He's not looking for heaven's key. No! The believer is in heaven. Heaven is God's kingdom. John 3:3. Jesus says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, follow me. So that means when I got born again, I am in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. And God's kingdom is God's heaven. And I am in God's heaven. Okay, follow me that. Say, I'm in God's heaven. You're in the door. So leave that talk of heaven is the goal. No, I'm in heaven now. Glory to God. How can you follow me? How can you follow me? Say, I'm in heaven now. Glory, glory, glory. Very, very important. Nothing must take your eyes off it. Nothing. Nothing. Never say heaven is the goal. No. I'm in heaven now. Glory to God. In new baby company of angels. Okay, go ahead. Let me show you something else. Hebrews 12, we are still there. 23. In new baby company of angels 23. To an heavenly, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, right? Right? Which are where? In where? In where? Come on. Say, I'm in heaven now. So heaven is not a goal. Heaven is where we are in Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that means we have to relook again into how heaven is used. If heaven is where I am now, let me. I have to ask myself a question again. What really is heaven? Maybe there's something in my head that is causing a mental blockage of what heaven really is. Now you have to really at it again. You know, when I was a little boy, much younger, he had things like, heaven, the streets of heaven are made of gold. Heaven is an air conditioner home where Jesus Christ is preparing for us. Come on everybody, heaven is an air conditioner. It's because you don't have air conditioner in your house. Yeah. Go ahead now, have a condition. Okay, what is your own heaven? Only thing you picture your head in heaven will be snow. You want to go to UK or US. That's your problem. Yeah. You say, the streets of heaven are made of gold. Gold? Gold? They know, your problem is you never want a gold chain. Because you will discover when your heaven is made up of gold, that means your heaven is a materialistic place. Okay, following me. Then that means your heaven is a materialistic place because you've not worn gold chain before. Amen. Glory to God. So that means I have to reconsider what my definition of heaven is. Amen. Amen. Because when Luke said he was taken up into heaven, truly he was taken up into heaven. So why is it to heaven? Your heaven is where you just get there one bright cloud. You watch too many movies, Nigerian movies. Somebody will now wear white beard or with white beard, carrying feathers. Your name is not in the book of life. What do you mean book of life? Your name is not in the last book of life. So therefore, you don't see one golden gate, you don't see one black gate. Like school three gates. And say, okay, your name is not in golden gate, go to black gate. Everywhere will now be cloudy. Come on. Somebody now said they were not playing Jimmy Reeves. Jimmy Reeves in heaven. Your heaven is your backyard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you guys should reduce all this distraction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means we have to reconsider what our definition of heaven really is. And it becomes very serious. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So when Luke said he went up to heaven, he went up to heaven. He went up to heaven. And we are in that heaven. How about that? Jesus is in heaven, we are in heaven. So where is he? He's where we are. Hallelujah. He is where we are. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So that means if heaven is where we are and when Jesus went to his heaven, it then means we have to reconsider what we define heaven to be. Leave those things. Leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it. You are distracting me. Once I'm standing, nobody crosses here. Come on. I'm trying to find myself on what I'm teaching. Hallelujah. So, your definition of heaven will now mean we should be subjected to how scriptures define heaven. Okay, so that means it becomes very vital for you to interpret words rightly. It becomes very vital that you interpret words rightly. So, like we said last week, Jesus has given to the local church the task of Bible interpretation. When he says teaching them, it's the task of interpreting scriptures. So that means a Bible student is a student or is a student, a Bible student or a believer is a student of the local church, right? Right? And therefore should be an interpreter. Hallelujah. Should be able to interpret Bible rightly. And we said, the goal of Bible interpretation is to find out what was in the mind of the writer when he wrote. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was in the mind of the writer when they were writing? But you know what? The writers are not here to ask them, what was in your mind, Paul? What was in your mind, Moses? What was in your mind, Matthew? They're not here. So they left us with their text, which bears both their intention and the construction of their words. Hallelujah. And the construction of their words. So, we are left with just the text, what they've written down. And that text is all we have. The text will carry both their words, their intention, right? And which we say the goal of it will be what? Worship, right? John 3:12. You serve me on this, as the guy said, John Exodus 3:12. You serve me on this mountain. So that means the goal of Bible interpretation is worship. 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 Service. Worship. Hallelujah. We're getting there. Contending for the faith. Hallelujah. The goal is worship. So that's it. We said two things, key things will stand out in Bible interpretation. We say one, a text cannot mean today. what it never meant when it was written. A text of scripture cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written.
Two, we said, a text must be allowed to interpret itself. A text must be allowed to interpret itself. I shouldn't read my word. I shouldn't read words in my word into scripture. That is, I will not give the word, a word in scripture, a definition in my word. Hallelujah. You shouldn't do that. Rather, I should allow scripture to interpret itself.
Build a God. I shouldn't give words in my word. Like for example, just look at the word heaven now. Right? Heaven. Heaven.
A lot of people read our words. Heaven is an explanation now. I'm thinking of one staircase where horses will be flying.
No. No, that is wrong. Hallelujah. That is not what heaven is. Hope you're following me. That's not what heaven is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That said, last week we began looking at the word bless. Right? Bless.
Bless. I would say today in our world, if we use the word bless, tell somebody, bless me. In the person's head, he's thinking, give me money. Right? So in our world today, bless means kind of something. In fact, today people have used bless as skiddy, as what as skiddy. Skiddy means to tax someone. Please, you see a police officer, come and bless your boy today. Bless your boy. So everybody has been blessing this boy. So if Pastor says, God will bless you this week, you think Pastor is telling you, God is going to give me money this week. Or add more money to my pocket this week.
You know, a lot of things come to our mind. And see, it's not wrong for you to have that as a definition in your world. But when it becomes wrong is when you now apply it to scriptures. Amen. Amen. We're going to get to look at something else shortly. Or another thing again is the use of words like water. You now use water literally. And Jesus says, drink my blood. And you are thinking, Jesus is saying, you should come and cut him and drink his blood literally. No. No. If Jesus had given you a blood, real blood, red blood cell, his blood, cut it, I give you blood, will you drink? Will you drink? Amen. So that means you have to read it again. Hope you're following me. Again. Remember what I used to tell you. You have to sit at the seat of the first audience when they heard the word. And when you heard the word, in sitting at the seat of the first audience, you have to know how words were used in their world. Allow the text to interpret itself. We're going to look at all that as we proceed. So we're going to look at the word bless.
Hallelujah. And we say, in Moses' days, when you use the word bless, it means to speak well of.
To speak well of. And we say it's also used to honor God, right? Blessed be God. Be used for honor. I would say it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with money. Jacob received the blessing. Esau was not blessed.
Jacob received the blessing. Jacob bowed to Esau. Esau didn't bow to Jacob. So that means blessed there, therefore is something we have to look again at.
And we saw in that blessed was used for in relation to God's promise in the earth, right? Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said, multiply, replenish, and I mean multiply, subdue, and replenish the earth. Did you see that? Amen. So blessed is used in relation to God's instruction, God's promise, God's work in all the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. God blessed Abraham in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 12. He blessed Abraham. But when you get to Genesis chapter 20, Abraham ran to Philistine. Why? There was drought. He ran to Abimelech. Hope you're following me. Amen. If the drought didn't affect him, he won't be in Abimelech's country. No, he does not. So, blessed has nothing to do with money. In fact, before, when God called Abraham as a rich guy. Abraham was rich. Genesis 12 verse 5, he had servants. See, Abraham was already rich. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Are you following me? And there's something I'm going to say on Thursday as we teach. And it doesn't mean, when I said if you are tackling an extreme, it doesn't mean you go to another extreme. Amen? Glory to God. Amen? Aha. It doesn't mean that God doesn't make provision for his children. God does. God does. Hallelujah. He doesn't make provision for his children. Material provision. God wants you to be okay materially. Amen? Amen? But this blessing we're talking about here is concerning his will in the earth. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Aha. Are you done? So that before he starts saying God's destiny is for all his children to be poor, I never said that. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. So in the New Testament, let's get to the New Testament. We'll stop at the Old Testament first. Last week Sunday. So in the New Testament section of the Bible,
New Testament section. We'll deal with all that.
Hallelujah. Not now. Hallelujah. Amen. Corona? Just the same way people now read their Bible in verses and chapters. God never wanted you to read Bible in chapters and verses. Amen. Moses didn't write Bible in chapters and verses. Just people that now put it into chapters and verses. Now we separate the New Old Testament, New Testament, and they told you this part is gone. How? Was it God that made it to be gone? No! How am I going to do it? Amen? So we'll get to see others. Not today, but as we progress in our teaching and coming to church. As we come to church, we'll look at all that. Hallelujah! So the word
blessed in the Greek, which is the New Testament section, is eulogio.
Eulogio. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. Eulogio. It's used for the same, it has the same
meaning as the one in the Hebrew.
Amen. Amen. It's used for to speak well of. To speak well of. Amen. So remember the Hebrew word is Barak. Right? Barak. Now it's for to speak well. It also have other words like eulogia and eulogitos. Eulogia, E-U-L-O-G-I-A and E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. But let's look at the word eulogio. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. We're going to look at it together. In Luke 1, verse 28. Are you there? An angel came unto her, which is Mary, and said, Hail, thou art rightly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Did you see that? The angel was speaking to Mary and he tells Mary, blessed art thou amongst women. Hallelujah. He used the word blessed. So, Mary is called blessed because she was pregnant with Jesus. Verse 48. This is Mary's song. Therefore, he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Did you see that? Shall call me blessed. That is to speak good of. Amen. Amen. Shall call me blessed. Because she carried her Savior. Amen. Now, something to look at is, she was called blessed because she was pregnant with Jesus. It wasn't about money. Because she wasn't even in a rich home. I hope you are following me. Mary and Joseph were rich, but yet Mary was called blessed. Hallelujah. Jesus was born in a manger. To make you know how rich they were, he was born in a manger.
Many times where animals give birth, Jesus was born in a manger. Maybe you know how rich they were. They were very rich.
And that is not for your sake he became poor. That is not what it means. Don't read that scripture into his bed. Amen. Amen. Therefore, you say, hey,
Jesus was from a poor family that we can call rich.
Sure, okay.
Now ask yourself the question, what is rich in their world? What is poor in their world?
Don't be following me. Don't be following me. So you must be careful. So reading the Bible comes with a lot of carefulness. I say it a whole lot. Me as your pastor, I don't read the scripture and give it a meaning. No. It comes a lot of carefulness. Sometimes, what I've read today, what I've read today, I'll begin to apply. Listen, what I've read today, I might still keep looking at that thing for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Amen. Because you have to stop using what's in your world. Once that I can deal with a word, just a word, and I'll hold it for weeks into months, into days.
This is watering.
Because many a time, we just sit in our own work.
Like I'll show one of our pastors, I was telling him something. I asked him
what is the coming again of Jesus? When he said, what is the signs of your coming? And I laughed. I said, are you trying to say, Pastor?
And I said, well, then there's no rapture. So, what are the events that will happen? I thought I didn't want to talk to him about it, the race we get to find. But I said, let me just give him a tip. So I don't think Pastor is just blabbing around the church. Look at that one coming again. So what I'm still holding on to. Look at what coming again. Look at this place. And then we'll run through scripture of how that one was used. Coming, that one coming. Look at it again. He was not like, okay, that is it. So that means my definition of coming in my word today. When in your word today, when you hear come, he's coming. What do you think? He's just walking in. No, he's coming.
What kind of God is not coming in your world? You see that? With the Lord at his coming.
But in your world, that coming is not, they're not coming and he's walking in.
Following me. So you have to read again and again. Be careful to jump into conclusions.
Just like me, your pastor.
I'm very careful. Especially as regards scriptures. I'm very careful. Amen?
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 Amen.
So the best you can do is to follow your pastor.
I tell you the whole lot. Follow your pastor. If you follow your pastor, you'll never miss me.
Amen?
Can you be sure to follow your pastor? If you don't miss the way, you need to think you want to overtake your pastor, overtake.
You don't believe it? Hallelujah! Just follow your pastor. Stay where he stays. Be calm where he's calm. If I be calmer when he's calm, glory to God. Don't be in a rush. Don't. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen, amen, and amen. So look at some few things here.
In Luke 1:24, that word is used. Oh, that was a mistake. It's supposed to be Luke 2. Please, permit me for that. I guess I made a mistake there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep that for now. We'll get back to that. No, I skip that. Okay. Let's see how Jesus will use the word bless. You want to see how Jesus used the word bless? You want to see how Jesus used the word bless? Okay, let's see. Luke 6. Even if you don't want to see, you'll see. Luke 6, verse 28. It says, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you, and also him that smited you on one cheek. Offer the other also, and
let him be, and let him that taketh away your cloak forbid not to take the coat also. Did you see that? So he says you should do what? Bless them that curse you.
No one curses you. Curse means there. That was called there. It was chapter.
I skipped that. It means to defame, like to speak evil. Now somebody is speaking evil against you. You know, in your world or in our world, what do you say? I will talk my own back. Ali? I will talk my own back. Someone says you are crazy. You say that your head is not correct.
You know? I remember when we were small, we used to do one funny thing. Because you are mad. Someone is not in that reply. That's saying they are mad. They crack, they are mad, they don't know those figures.
You know, those kind of words. They talk my own back. In fact, I remember one time, a boy was crying back to his father that his mate yabbed him, or that his mate yabbed him. So the father then took him to his mate and said, "Yab your own back." That's nonsense. You don't do that. Oh, hope you're hearing me. You don't do that. Glory to God. You don't do that at all. Jesus says you should bless them that curse.
You see that? So bless me to speak good of. Amen? To say good of, not to speak bad of. Okay, amen? To speak good of.
You find that also in Matthew 5 verse 44, the same thing. So that will be blessing God's kingdom. Blessing God's kingdom is to speak good of. Hallelujah. In Romans 12 verse 14, it's the same thing. Romans 12 14, look at Paul. Paul writing concerning our walk in love. Look at what he says, Romans 12. Verse 14. Now, it says, bless them which persecute you. It says, bless and curse not. Is that you bless and do what? Curse not. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 12. 4:12, are you there? It says, and labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. You see that? We bless. When we have opposition, we bless. When we are caught, we bless.
Hallelujah. We bless. See my mouth? It's full of God's blessing. Hallelujah. So you speak well, you speak good of people. See, I don't speak bad. Of anyone. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. We're going to practice that every day. Hallelujah. We're going to practice that every day. I don't speak bad of anyone. I don't speak evil of anyone. Hallelujah. You know you can live your life like that. You don't speak evil of anyone. I don't speak evil of anyone. Say, I don't speak evil of anyone. Hallelujah. Say, I don't speak evil of anyone. Glory to God. Glory to God. My mouth is for blessing and not for cursing. Okay, in Acts 3, quickly. Acts 3. What's too far? Acts 3. Are you in Acts 3? Verse 9. Look at Peter. Acts 3. Sorry, verse 26. Acts 3, 26. Are you there? Look at what Peter says. He says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus Christ. You see that? Resurrection, right? Right? Resurrection, right? So what happened in the resurrection? Where did Jesus go? Where did Jesus go in the resurrection? Where? Where is Jesus in the resurrection? Where is Jesus in the resurrection?
Heaven?
Believer?
Hallelujah. The definition of heaven is somewhere else. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. The definition of heaven was the same thing with the definition of heaven is Christ.
Hallelujah.
So, Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in the believer.
Hallelujah.
That's what it means. So, look at what Peter said. To make you know that there were two, when he went to heaven. Now, verse 26, he said, unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away
every one of you from your iniquity. Did you see that? So he calls the
turning away of them from their iniquity
God's blessing. Did you see that? He calls it what? God's blessing.
That is the new birth.
Okay. Carry that in your hand. Have that in your hand somewhere where it says, in turning away from your iniquity, right? That is repentance and remission, right? Come on. Luke 24. Luke 24, 47. Luke 24, 47. Are you there? Sorry. 46.
Luke 24, 46. Sorry. Yes, I'm missing that up. 46. Okay, it's 47. 47. And that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem. Isn't that? So what does he call the preaching of the gospel?
The gospel is the gospel of forgiveness of sins. Isn't that? John 20:22. John 20:21. If rest of them are saved, receive the Holy Ghost. 22. Whosoever sins you really have everything. And whosoever you retain, have everything. Isn't that? So in the preaching of the gospel, when a man believes, his sins are forgiven. Isn't that? When a man believes, his sins are forgiven. When a man doesn't believe, his sins stay with him. Just listen. Hallelujah. You remember me? He says, tell you me. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. So that means, can we say, when a man believes, his sins are forgiven, right? Now, based on what Peter has said, that indwelling is God blessing you. So that means when a man believes, he's blessed. Is that what it is? Right? But when a man believes, his sins are forgiven him, right? It's not forgiven him, he is blessed.
Hallelujah. That is what Peter is saying. Amen. He is blessed. So blessing there, come on, blessing for what Peter is saying is that the indwelling is God, is God speaking good of the believer. Okay, follow me. That is a new verse. Is God speaking well of the believer?
God speaking well of us.
In Galatians 3:9 again, look at Galatians 3:9. Quickly. Galatians 3:9. Could have done this on Thursday. But we'll have to take it here. Hallelujah. Are you in Galatians? Chapter 3 verse 9. It says, so then, they which are of faith, those who are saved, right? He said they are blessed with faith through Abraham. Did you see that? Are blessed. That means he's saying that the one who is born again is blessed. Just like Abraham is blessed. The one who is born again is blessed. So, come on. Can we say the indwelling of being born again is God speaking well of us? So we can say God has spoken well of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Or put it this way, God speaks well of us in Christ. Is that it? Say, God speaks well of me
in Christ. Hallelujah. So because I'm born again, I'm blessed. Glory to God. Not, I am blessed. I am blessed with brothers and sisters.
I don't deserve it, but yes, I am blessed. I'm blessed with plenty money.
I am blessed. No! I'm blessed because I'm in Christ! Hallelujah! Glory to God! So, why are you blessed? I'm in Christ. God speaks well of me in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. That is blessing God's kingdom. God's kingdom, we are blessed. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. I'm blessed.
Hallelujah. You can say it over and again. I'm blessed because I'm in Christ.
The indwelling is God blessing me. Okay, hear me that. Hallelujah. I'm blessed.
You
walking with someone and they say, ah, can't you see? Don't lie, that is the thing I said to say, I'm blessed.
Yeah, are you fucking
alone?
I'm just blessed.
Yeah. He said, how much do you have in your bank account? It's not by my bank account. I'm blessed. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay, let me. Okay, let me. Have you paid your school fees? I'm blessed. You know that? Your baby, I'm blessed. It doesn't change it. That's what I'm saying. Something doesn't change it. I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. I've been here for 5 days. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Hold it up. Ephesians 1 3. You can read it. You have it.
Step again. It says, blessed be God. That is the word, blessed be God, eulogistos, used for God alone. Still, who has blessed us? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens? Is that? Amen? When you see all spiritual blessings, they're not talking for money. All spiritual blessings, if you read down, guys, Ephesians 1. What is the blessing? The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. In the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of God. He has blessed us. He has spoken of us righteous. He has called us justified. Hallelujah. We are all blessed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that said, we should be wary of materialism. Material message, that materialism gospel that makes you think or makes you feel that the blessing is associated with money. That if you pay tithe, you are blessed. If you don't pay tithe, things will be tithe for you. What nonsense is that? Hallelujah. Be careful of such kind of doctrine. I say, if you don't give, you will never be blessed, you'll be broke. Come on. Come on. I'm blessed. You're blessed by default. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to be wary of such kind of material gospel. I mean, to think the blessing of God is just money. Amen.
In fact, now goes further. If you don't give, you don't receive.
The one way to pay
is by giving. When I want to get to trust him. Yeah, that is why I said all this on Sunday, because of time. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
But when we get there on Thursday, there was no time. So why do we give? Do we give to receive? No. That's not the reason why we give. So not like when you come to Jambusi, that you have to connect to the altar. Which altar? Shrine or which one? Stop talking nonsense. Hallelujah. That's to connect. You give to receive, no.
Hallelujah. Amen. We are blessed already. So step into your head. There you are blessed. In Acts of Apostles chapter 8, there was a guy called Phineas.
Acts 8.
You
can read that one. In verse 14, the Bible says, when the disciples heard that Samaria had received the word, they sent John and Peter to come that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So if you read that, the Bible says they laid hands on them and the Holy Ghost came on them. Hallelujah. But there was one guy who was also saved. But the point is there that he was saved, but he had not saved his mind. So he now saw that by the laying on of hands the Holy Ghost was given. That is, he started speaking in tongues, rejoicing and dancing. And he now brought out money. He now called Peter. I saw the pastor. I saw that when he got laid, everyone was just rejoicing in the spirit. People were just speaking in tongues. Tapping. I want to tap into this anointing. So start. Here is my seed. That's what he gave to Peter. He said, Peter, here is my seed. He offered me money. He offered me money. The money might not be small money. Money, because the guy was a wealthy guy. Give him money! You know? It was like for 50 million of a pastor. 50 million. You know?
Hallelujah. Alright, pass for 50 million. No, 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 no,
You can see, at the graveyard, there is not everything of Peter. What did Peter say? Peter said, your money perish with you. Did that mean?
The apostles, we're going to see all this on Thursday. The apostles came strongly against materialism, the material gospel. What are you hearing? They were strong against the divine. Paul will say, we are not as them that peddle the world. See that? That peddle it. We don't make merchandise of the gospel.
And if you don't say, come and give that you will receive.
No, it's merchandise.
Hallelujah. You come to church, you buy olive water. You buy, you blend, you also buy blood of Jesus. You also buy blood of God. You also buy early morning water.
Buy late in the night water.
Buy afternoon bath.
No! Amen. We don't make merchandise of the world. Open your enemy. You don't make merchandise of the world. Come and show to the altar of God. Let it be altar that was altar. Are you normal? Don't do that. You know you can be giving for the wrong reason. You can. And it's the duty of your pastor to stop you when you're giving for the wrong reason.
Hope you're hearing that. Hope you're hearing that. Thank you for the right reason.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Very vital.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah. Another word to consider.
I want to consider the word eat. The use of the word eat in scripture.
Hallelujah. Eat. Now this is because people use the word eat wrongly. Most times when the word eat is written in scriptures, the writer might be writing it figuratively and you're reading it literally. And that usually will cause problems.
Because you are reading what the writer wrote figuratively literally.
Hallelujah.
And it's in the Judea.
Hallelujah. Now the word eat in their world or in their culture is used for acceptance. The word to eat in their culture is this for how you accept something or someone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So in their world, if I'm to show that we are friends, or we are sure that I've accepted you as a friend, that we will eat together.
Is that?
So eating is used to show acceptance. We eat together. It was in their culture. Amen.
So look at something. In Matthew 9 verse 10, this is Jesus now. This is Jesus. Matthew 9, look up on verses 9. And as Jesus went past forth from hence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of the custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in their house, you see that? He sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Did you see this? Now look at verse 11, everybody. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, to his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Did you see that? They said, why is your master eating with sinners and publicans?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So that becomes the question. Why is he eating with sinners? So remember, the publicans Listen. And the publicans are known as sinners.
Publicans are those who work in public offices. Right? Now, they are called sinners because they were Jews. Come on. As Jews, they believed you shouldn't work under the Roman Empire. They were called publicans because they were working under the Roman, either working with Pontius Pilate, Judas. So they were called publicans. So no, that is for the mixed multitude. It's not for the children of God. Did you see that? So they call them sinners. What about you? Tax collector. Matthew was a tax collector. Caesar, under Caesar. This is that. No. You can't be holy. You know why the Pharisees were self-righteous people. Self-righteous. So they see other people as not righteous. So they see those guys as sinners. So Jesus came and called Matthew, follow me, and he went with him, and just like a bar, for example, not a bar, okay, a restaurant. Restaurant is better. So restaurant, and then serve food. Maybe Jesus will delicious food. And Matthew said, don't worry, sir, okay. And other people say, ah, Rabbi, you are here. And several people now gathered, and they were all eating. And the Pharisees came and said, your master is eating with sinners. What are they saying? They are saying your master is now friends with sinners. He's now been accepted, he's accepting sinners. And you say your master is a rabbi. Is that a rabbi, a teacher? How can a teacher? Because they are seeing it from their own angle. They're supposed to die with them. Did you get that? Eh? They see them as unholy. So, holiness dies with unholiness. Okay, so look at verse 19. Look at verses 19. Are you in verse 19? Matthew, come in. A second, please. Yes, I read this now. Sorry, a minute. Matthew 11:19. It says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttons and wine babblers. Now, a friend of publicans. This is that, and sinners. But wisdom is justified in, justified over children. You see that? So they called him, so eating with the publicans, they now started saying he is friends of sinners. This is that, because of that eating. I hope you are following me. So eating means we are now friends. We are not accepted to have ourselves. We have accepted ourselves as friends. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, at the Passover table, Jesus would eat with his disciples to show acceptance also. Hope you're following me. They sat together and ate. I want you to see the Passover, I think it's a teaching class, right? Right? So when they sat down, that was not the first Passover that they had together. They only had Passover together to show acceptance. Hallelujah. John 7:37 was after the Passover, last day of the feast. So that was not Jesus' first Passover with his disciples. But he took that one. That one stood out because of what he did. He taught them. Hope you're following me. And in fact, if we go back again to Passover, we are not doing that. Thank you. Hallelujah. Almost said something, but I'm not going there. Hallelujah. Amen. So the word eat is the word esitio. E-S-I-T-H-I-O. Esitio. It's used majorly for eating literally. How you eat food literally. It also has an alternative word. Phago. P-H-A-G-O. Phago.
That one is used both literally and figuratively. Mostly it's used figuratively. But they use the alternative that word, right? They use it alternatively.
If you don't use CO, you use the word phago. But phago was used more, many times in scripture, was used figuratively. So,
as we said, it was their culture of acceptance. It was a culture of acceptance. So if you get to the book of Acts, the Bible will say in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 42 and 46, that they broke bread together. They broke bread together. It's used to show that they are in union together. Amen. It's used to signify their union together. To show their brotherhood.
To show their brotherhood in the church. So they break bread together. They eat together. Okay. They broke bread together and ate together. That is why they call themselves, or believers, we call ourselves brethren. Brethren is the word in the Greek, adelphos, from the same source, from the same womb. So we are called adelphos because we are from the same source, the resurrection. Okay, yeah. So what signifies that we are brothers? We eat together. Hope you're following that. Now, that doesn't mean we're not bringing food to church today. So how do we do that? How do we show that we are brethren today? Now what food is used for fellowship. Hope you're following me. So our coming together to have fellowship with one another, we are breaking bread. Hallelujah. It is called that part of our adelphos. Brother. Oh, come down. Fellowship together. Now look at how God has not used their culture. Right? In Acts. Now the book in the Ephesians, you will not find break bread, you will find fellowship. That's what negates the fellowship of action. What we are following? God follows their culture and perfects it in our fellowship with one another. What we are following that? That shows our brotherhood. Our brotherhood.
This will not make you see why in Acts, in Galatians 2.11. Rush to Galatians 2.11. I want us to cover a little milestone. Galatians 11. I mean, that's the Galatians 2, sorry. Galatians 2. 11. It says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. You see that? So that means, look at what happened here. Peter was eating with Gentiles.
As soon as he saw Jews, the Jewish people coming, what did he do? He now pretended that he was not a Jew. That was Peter.
Amen. That was what Paul was saying. He now pretended. Hallelujah. So it says, and the other Jews, verse 13, dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with that dissimulation. Did you see that? So he pretended. So Peter now walked up to him and now rebuked him.
Amen. Because why? Why would he do that? He was eating with them to show acceptance, right? When he saw fellow Jews coming, because in their culture, a Jewish person was not eating with the Gentile. In their culture. Okay, I'm going to leave. You're not eating with the Gentile. Amen. Amen. Before a Gentile is accepted, he will go through purification. So he's not eating the Gentile. But Peter was doing that. Why was Peter doing it? Because those Gentiles were saved. Hallelujah. So he was eating with them to show acceptance. And some of them Jews. No, I'm not a Jew. What does that show? Hypocrisy. Right? That's not hypocrisy. So
now you will see why Paul will rebuke him. Hallelujah. That was self-righteousness. Hallelujah. Self-righteousness. So he needed to be rebuked.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very vital. So eating is used to show our union. our union. Acceptance. Acceptance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our acceptance. So,
to show that we are one together with Christ or in Christ. Something I want to see. Therefore, if I go back to the Old Testament book, there's somewhere I've skipped, which is John 6. We'll get back to them. When I go back to the Old Testament books, where Moses says, eat of the tree.
And when Moses says, eat of the tree, it therefore will mean, he's talking about something that deals with acceptance to God. When Moses says, you shall eat of this tree, it means it has to do with acceptance to God. Something that has to do with acceptance to God. Hallelujah. It's something that has to do with belief. And we're going to explore this path. Hallelujah. We'll surely explore a bit of what Moses was saying. Hallelujah. But before we get to look at what Moses says as we round up,
let's see John 6 quickly. John 6 will give us a pilot phase into a bit of what Moses was talking about. John 6. Hope you understand what I'm teaching you. Hope you're understanding it. Right? Okay, John 6. John 6, are you there? Look at what Jesus said in verses 40. Okay. Verse 44. Okay, verse 41. Oh, it's a long reading. And the Jews, they murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Hallelujah. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother will know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Remember before now, they said, is this not the carpenter's son? Carpenter. Carpenter, well, I don't know. But let me know you have carpenter's son. How can he say he came down from heaven? Did you see that? Can he say he came down from heaven? Imagine, you are working, I say, I'm blessed. I just say, boys. This is not body that I see for. How can he say he's blessed? Hey, tell me something. Oh my God, I'm picking it up. Did you see? He can he say? How many cars does he have? Did you see what is in their head? Amen? Can he say again now from heaven? Now, they're not saying heaven as another planet. They say, how can he say he came from God? We know your source. What are you doing?
Amen. Because heaven is this for God. They all know that. So they say, I came from God. We don't know your papa. We don't know your papa. W stands for Awo. Okay, sorry. Awo. Is it not Awa? Is it not Papa Kubi? We know him now. Say yes. I don't want to see it around the what happened
to your boss? Did you get it? Amen? He said, it's not that guy that was born in manger. No, it's God. You know they said that to Jesus too. They said it to him. In John 8. When Jesus said, before Abraham, and they said,
we're not born of Hallow. I don't want to talk about that.
God said, well, come on. You can see. You can see.
So, it's not
today
that social media started.
But their own social media was not like our social media. But they have social media. News will just spread. Carpenter, carpenter, carpenter. Glory to God. Hope you are with me. So, Were we? Okay, so look at verses 44. He said, no one comes to the Father. No one comes to me except the Father had sent them. Okay, rush down to 38. Say, I am the bread of life. Your Father did eat manna anyway, then there's another death. He said, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eats thereof, shall not die. Did you see that? He says he is the bread of life. If you eat him, you will not die. Oh yeah, will you now go and carry a seat like that?
You will be Dracula. You will be called a... What is the name? You will be called a vampire. Because, amen? Then Jesus is teaching and he says, I'm the bread of life. He that is hungry should come and eat. And that's why I say, I'm there. We don't have the vampire. Come on! Amen? Fix right. So, if you were there, would you do that? So that means you have to ask yourself, what is he talking about? I'm the bread of life. He that eats of me.
So the eating of him now will not have, because the understood word eat is used for fago. Amen. Figuratively. He's talking about acceptance. To receive. Amen. So if you receive me, you will not die. You will never be hungry again. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Jesus is preaching the gospel. Hope you're following that. 51 says, I'm the bread which came down from heaven, from God. If any man eats of this bread, he will shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh. And I give it for the life of the world. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Then I said to him, except you eat my flesh, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, 53, and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. So, drink and eat are used together. Amen. You drink and you eat. Very vital. Hallelujah. So, it is used for acceptance unto him. It is used for belief. Hallelujah. And they will be used together, eat and drink. So drink and eat in God's kingdom is used for acceptance, for believing. Hallelujah. Unto God. Glory to God. In God's kingdom, eat and drink will be used for belief, for acceptance unto God. So we'll explore this and many more in the coming days as we stay on the teaching contending for the faith. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today? Have you learned something? Talk to your neighbor and share what you learned. Pat, share what you learned. We have 2 minutes to do that.